And good afternoon, and welcome to this edition of your radio magazine, Voices of the Tri-States. We're pre-recorded today. Today, we are talking about relationships, specifically the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship. With me, joining me on the phone, I have Dr. Deanna Brann. A little bit on her background, she's author of a book, Reluctantly Related, Secrets of Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. She's a licensed clinical psychotherapist who's been practicing psychology for more than 25 years and a national speaker on the subject of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships. With that, I want to say good afternoon to Dr. Brann, and how is everything going?
Well, everything's fine. Thank you so much, Cindy.
And thanks for joining us here on the air today. Let's start out that mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Boy, that's a sticky relationship there in many cases. What inspired you to start writing about this and to put this down to hopefully help some others with that relationship?
Well, it started with my relationship with my own daughter-in-law. Actually, she and I got along really well for the first several years. And then they started having children, and that's when things started to fall apart. And, you know, I'm a therapist, so you would think I would know what to do, but I was a little too close to the situation, and I struggled for a long time, and finally it's like, I have to figure this out, you know. So I did some research, and I interviewed mothers-in-law, daughters-in-law, husbands and sons, everybody, and was able to come up with different types of mothers-in-law and different types of daughters-in-law, and then that allowed me to not only create some distance for myself, but also to be able to use a lot of the tools that I did in my clinical practice, I was able to transfer over into working with mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law.
Now, I would imagine, as you mentioned, you know, you've got all of this experience and background, and you must have been knocking your head against a wall of the frustration of saying, hey, you know, I deal with people every day in their relationships, and why isn't this one working out for me?
Yeah, I did. A long time. And one of the things, I mean, I really figured out there are like five things, and I'll just give you a couple of them to now. But, you know, one of the main reasons this relationship is so hard is that it's an artificial relationship. You know, it's not something that you choose. Someone has chosen this for you. Your son, you know, has chosen this for you. And, you know, if you're his wife, you didn't choose your in-laws, you chose him. So it's an artificial relationship that you've got to make into something. And what we typically do is try to make it too fast and try to do things and make this relationship into something long before it really can be. So we need to slow that process down. And then just one of the other of the five would be that we all bring our history and our emotional baggage into these relationships. Everybody does. You can't avoid that. And so that makes things a bit challenging, let's say, because, you know, the way, you know, we are a product of our environment, of our families, and that kind of stuff, and that translates into this relationship just as much as any other relationship.
And you mentioned it a little bit along the way, but I think one of the things that, one of my pitfalls, and I bet a lot of other daughter-in-law's pitfalls, and maybe mother-in-law pitfalls, you don't know what the rules are of this new family. You know,
exactly.
they may have grown up a certain way, and I know in ours, situation is, and when they got together at family gatherings, you had, you know, the men were in one room and the women were in another room, and I didn't know that it wasn't a thing that they mingled, and so I was really the oddball out on that. But I would imagine not just that, but there are other things that you don't know what these hidden rules are.
And that's very true, and it's not, that's part of the problem. We don't talk about this relationship. We don't think about what we want. But again, you know, back to what we bring into this relationship, you know, the daughter-in-law has her customs and her family traditions and her way of communicating and talking with each other, and that's her family, and the husband has that too, and his family has his style. Then you're trying to blend those two. And that's why I think if you move slower into this relationship and you try to create a relationship with this other woman, whether it's the daughter-in-law or the mother-in-law, you try to create a relationship with her that's totally separate from the son or the husband. That's just really critical to me.
And now you mentioned the son, one of the critical people in this whole triangle and how this, I would call it a love triangle, but that sounds odd, but it kind of is in a way, but how does he, the husband, fit into this whole mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship? I would imagine he's kind of a critical go-between liaison or whatever we want to call him here.
He really is, and he is, I mean, he, if you think about it, he is caught in the middle. You know, I mean, he loves both women. He doesn't understand, because men have different kinds of relationships than women do. And so men typically don't understand why these two women can't get along. What's the big deal, you know? Because men view relationships so differently. And so because he's kind of caught in the middle, he's trying to referee both sides. Sometimes, you know, he doesn't know what to do, and so he, you know, will get himself in trouble that way. Typically, his goal is to please his wife, and so he will do what he has to do to make that happen. And oftentimes, that can really put some painful situations on his mother, the mother-in-law.
And I would think sometimes, too, you get into that situation where one or the other says, well, it's either her or me, and then, you know, you've got all kinds of fighting and disruption going on as well.
That happens, unfortunately, way too often, and it's so unnecessary. It, you know, he shouldn't have to choose, because the relationships are so different, you know?
Okay, now what if, you know, like, maybe the mother-in-law's identified this problem, or the daughter-in-law's identified the problem, but what if only one of them, you know, has identified that there is actually a problem and wants to change things? Can you make things better?
You really can. And this is one of the things that I found in my research was that, and just working with clients in general, is that you do not need the other person to actively be involved. And that's one of the beauties of this. If you change your behavior so that you try to get the results that you want, you kind of think about, well, what am I trying to achieve here, and what can I do differently to make that happen? You can change somebody else's behavior without making a big deal about it. And that to me is great, because nobody wants to confront somebody. I mean, that's just not fun. It's unpleasant. It feels awful, and people won't do it. So if you can change your own behavior, and then in turn, that forces the other person to change.
So we have all these types of issues that are maybe going on between the mother-in-law, whether it's my, you know, situation where I didn't know there was this unwritten, you know, cultural rule that the men and women didn't mingle, or, you know, maybe it's how, you know, finances are handled, or how the children are raised, or, you know, how do you have, you know, how do you get this help, you know, that, you know, maybe it is a one-sided, where do we start?
Well, you start with, again, the first place you want to start is to try to create a relationship with this woman that's a relationship between the two of you. So you get to know her for who she is, whether it's mother-in-law or daughter-in-law. And then the next thing you want to do, if there is a particular issue you want to deal with, then the best way to do it is, okay, you know, what do I want to have happen here? If I want, let's say I want my mother-in-law to, you know, not be so involved in our life. You know, okay, well, what can I do? Well, one of the first things to do is just to kindly, gently set some boundaries. And people say, oh, yeah, I've done that, and that doesn't work. But the key to setting boundaries, and people know this from their children, is you can't set a boundary unless you have consequences if they don't follow through. And you have to then follow through with those consequences. That's what we typically don't do. We'll say, you know, the daughter-in-law may say to her mother-in-law, you know, I really don't want you calling between this time and this time because we're trying to get the kids to bed. And so then she's calling. Well, if you don't tell her what will happen if you do that, then she's going to keep doing it, you know. So you've got to let her know what are the consequences for the boundary that you're setting, and then follow through with whatever it is you said you were going to do. And that will stop the behavior. So that's a good example of how to use your behavior to start to change things.
Now, I would imagine lots of problems, but I would imagine there's common problems that the mother-in-laws encounter with the daughter-in-laws. And what would some of those be?
You know, one of the main things is that the mother-in-law feels that she's left out, that she's lost her son, and, you know, that he is put in a position to have to choose her or his wife. And so, you know, the mother-in-law feels that there's this competition going on, even when she doesn't see it herself, that she's not trying to compete. But one of the things I've learned is that the competition isn't about the love for this man. It's really about the daughter-in-law feels that the competition is more about the influence they have over this man. And that is probably one of the hardest things, you know, that the mother-in-law has to deal with, that and that she's losing her son, she's losing her grandkids.
Now, is it a good thing, and I'll bring this up at this point, because I think the husband does play a critical role in some of this, too, of is it a good thing for the wife to talk to the husband or for the mother-in-law to talk to the son and not, you know, making one of these other women feel like they're being left out and you're trying to, you know, build up a team, you know, the man against me, but is it a good idea to bring him into this situation?
I think it is for, I think the wife needs to talk to her husband. Now, I don't think she should have him solve the problem, but I think she needs to, they need, the couple need to have an understanding of where each person is coming from. You know, if she's having an issue with his mother, she needs to be able to talk to her husband about that and be able to find out where he's at and how he might be able to help her. The mother-in-law, it's a little trickier for her to be bringing it up because she ends up putting him in the middle then. And so that makes it a lot harder. And she really shouldn't. She needs to deal more directly with the daughter-in-law.
And again, I want to remind our audience, we're pre-recorded today talking with Dr. Deanna Brand. She has a book out on getting mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws together, Reluctantly Related. I just love the title of that book, by the way.
Thank you.
I think that's a really nice way to kind of put it together that, you know, sometimes you're bringing people together from different aspects of lives, like you said, and trying to put them all together. Now, the mother-in-laws, what are some reasons maybe the mother-in-law, you know, you've identified there's a problem here. Maybe there are some common reasons why the mother-in-laws don't try to improve the relationship on their end.
A lot of the times the reason a mother-in-law doesn't do it is she gives up. You know, she really just gives up. And her fear is, I'm going to lose the people who matter the most to me. And so I don't even want to try anymore. Or she has lost them to some extent. And so she just gives up. And she's afraid that if she does something, that it's going to make it worse. And that's probably the biggest thing that I hear is, you know, well, if I do something, then I'm going to make it worse, which is not really true, but that's their biggest fear. And so they just do nothing. You know?
Now, the daughter-in-law, from her perspective, what are some of the common problems that she encounters with her mother-in-law?
A couple of the main things that they deal with is that they feel that the mother-in-law is way too intrusive, way too controlling, and doesn't respect her. That's the biggest, that she doesn't feel respected by her mother-in-law.
And again, I think some of this, I don't know whether you say, I don't know necessarily if it's that competition, but I think in some ways maybe it does get to, you know, moms like to be moms, and sometimes that daughter now is in the mom role. She's got her own kids, and so you're right. There's that too many chiefs and not enough Indian syndrome. Does that sound right?
Exactly.
So now, I would imagine, too, you know, you can change that relationship, but you had mentioned a couple of important words, the challenge and the confrontation. What are some tips? How do we improve that? And I guess even for our male listeners out there, you know, you can help the wives out or the mother-in-laws out if you're listening as well. But what are some things that we can do to make this relationship better?
One of the things that I really encourage women to do, and I actually teach this with women, is how to listen and learn from it. Because one of the things that we end up doing when we try to deal with an issue with somebody is we seem to want to focus. Our goal becomes, I just need her to get to see where I'm coming from, because once she understands where I'm coming from, she'll understand I'm right. And we get stuck in the right and wrong of things. And that creates stalemate. And that's what breaks down the relationship. And that's not just mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. That would be any relationship. So, you know, one of the best things to do is to really learn how to listen to somebody and hear them on a different level and not focus so much on the right and wrong and really focus on creating a win-win situation. Because once you break that stalemate, you've changed that relationship in ways that are so huge. And again, it's without confronting. It's really about, I want to understand why you're so upset with me. I want to understand, you know, what is going on so we can figure out how to fix it.
And I think you've hit that nail on the head, too, in the sense that, and I discovered this, too, is, you know, in myself being a news person as a background, you know, the facts are the facts, and right is right and wrong is wrong. But what I've discovered, and I think this would help out as well, and I'm sure that it's along the same lines of what you're thinking of, even though in a conversation somebody brings up some wrong facts or this or that, you know, in the whole scope of a social situation, does it really matter? Do you have to say, aha, you're wrong and I'm right?
That's the problem, you know. And again, you have to understand the other person, when they're talking to you and they're upset and they're expressing, you know, an issue they have with you, they're going to say things that are half truth, whole truth, not true at all. It doesn't matter. That's their perception. That's how they view it, whether it's right or wrong. And it doesn't matter. And you're right. You've got to kind of get past that and just focus on hearing them.
The other thing that I know, particularly with the women aspect, women tend to be gossipers. And how do you get beyond that in the sense, say, one or the other, you got a mother-in-law who might be a gossipy or the daughter-in-law who's a gossipy, and, you know, they've, you know, one or the other maybe have even taken classes not to be a gossiper and not to do this. And now you're in this relationship, your son or your husband, you know, whoever it is, you know, now you're in this relationship with this other woman. And they are into telling, you know, stories about Aunt Martha and so-and-so and so-and-so, and you don't want to have any part of it. Do you just disengage when that type of behavior comes up, or how do you deal with that?
The best way to do that is, and again, you don't want to just disengage because that, who knows what kind of message that's going to send. But it's very easy to do. You can just say, you know, I'll talk to you about anything else, but I just don't want to talk about, you know, family gossip stuff or what, you know, whatever it is, and just say, when you start that, I'm going to leave the room or I'm going to hang up, whatever the case may be, and then follow through and do what you say you're going to do. Because once you start to leave the room when they bring people up that you don't want to be talking about, she'll stop. And she'll stop because she's going to learn, you know, oh, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. It doesn't matter if she agrees with it. She's just going to know that this is what you're doing. So you just set a boundary and just say, you know, and you can do very lovingly and very kindly and just say, you know, I just don't get into that. And so if you do that, I'm going to have to leave the room every time you do that, or I will hang up, you know, when you do that. And then do it.
You know, and you bring up, you know, some of the strategies, but maybe there's some other strategies and skills we haven't talked about, not just the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, but female relationships, which are sometimes very tough because, you, again, you're dealing with different people. Maybe you have some like types of things that you get together as friends. But, you know, what makes, you know, this relationship stronger and better? What kinds of things can we give to people and put in their toolbox to say, this is what you should be doing or can try to make this something that's a stronger relationship for both people involved?
Well, I think you make a good point. Women have a tendency of personalizing everything. And one of the best things that you can do is figure out what type of person you're dealing with. And this is huge, because if you know who you're dealing with, the type of person, the personality type that you're dealing with, you're going to be able to, one, not take whatever she does or says as personally, because it's not so much about you as much as it's really about their personality. And once you understand that, then you're able to put that emotional distance there. And that, to me, is huge. Because once you can create emotional distance, you just don't personalize things as much. And women have a tendency of doing that.
And for your relationship, when you were writing this, did your daughter-in-law know you were putting this book together and you were trying to get this done? Or I would imagine she knows now.
She knows. Well, it was interesting. She didn't know for a long time, and I was actually in the process of writing it. And we were, you know, I started using a lot of the tools that I was putting in the book, and so things were really getting pretty good between us. And so I actually, I was not living in Knoxville at the time where they are here. I was living in Michigan, and I happened to be visiting, and, you know, she and I had taken the girls to the park, the grandkids to the park, and I thought, I've got to say something because, you know, this is
going to
be out.
This is going to come out, and,
exactly.
And she's going to say, huh, look at this.
Yeah, exactly. So I just brought it up, and I was scared, you know, because you never know how someone's going to take that. But she's been so supportive. I mean, she's just been absolutely fabulous. In fact, in writing the first chapter, because I waited till the end to write the first chapter, which is a story about Michelle and I, my daughter-in-law and I, one of our worst nightmares that happened. And she helped me write her part. you know, I interviewed her, and I, you know, wrote it up, and she edited it, and she made sure it was what she really felt and how she really felt. So she was very supportive. She helped me write the first chapter, which was great.
So I would imagine this not only made your relationship better, but really, you know, enforced a strong family bond at that point, too, to, you know, you were working on a project together. And maybe that's something, too, that a lot of mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws, they've never really worked as a team on something, mm-hmm. and that might make something of a difference, too.
Exactly. And again, I think once you get to know who you're, you know, the type of person you're dealing with, and you get to create a relationship with her that's separate. I mean, now my daughter-in-law and I have a relationship that has nothing to do with my son, you know. It is something that we've created for ourselves. And it just creates a bond between us that you don't otherwise have, because otherwise it's you're just kind of together because of this man, and that's not good enough. It needs to be more.
A couple of people that we have not talked about that have an influence in this relationship, too, is if there are siblings. And how important is that to, you know, get those people on board, whether it's a sister-in-law or a brother-in-law? Do they play a factor in this mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship?
You know, they do to an extent. Again, I think a lot of the competitiveness will come out if the mother-in-law is treating, you know, one in-law family different than another, and that, you know, or it feels that way. That can create a difference. That probably, you know, and I don't think that they have that much of an impact on the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, unless there's the gossipy stuff going on, which does happen, and then that can create a triangle, which we all know is not pretty.
Well, and then that's where, you know, I think sometimes, like you say, with women, I think stepping back, being a listener, and not getting involved in the gossip, and I know that's a tough thing to do because it's all, you know, it's a nice thing to, I shouldn't say a nice thing, but, you know, just to go with the flow. But mm-hmm. then what happens is someone who was maybe at that event where the people were talking about someone, oh, yeah, did you know that the daughter-in-law was saying this? You know,
yeah.
So it snowballs. So I think
exactly
those types of things, always to avoid gossip, would be a good thing, and try to get, you know, as much as you can to, you know, find some common ground. Would that be a
yes,
fair thing
exactly.
to say?
You know, it's interesting. One of the places that I'm learning so much about is Facebook, which has created a lot of problems between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, because a lot of things are put up on Facebook that then gets the other one reads it and is hurt or offended. So, and that's another way gossip kind of stuff gets going.
Oh, my. You know, technology, it's a great thing when it works for us, but not against us in
exactly.
that sense. How has your book been taken? I had not heard whether this is something that, you know, what kinds of comments have people said about this?
I have had some really wonderful reactions to it, a lot of great feedback. I think one of the best things that I've heard is that because I actually give step-by-step tools what to do and how to do it and give examples, that is something that people love, because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, you need to do this, but if you don't know how to do it, you don't know what it looks like, it's really, really hard to do it. So the fact that I've given them exactly what they can do, I think everybody just says they love that.
Fantastic. And again, name of your book that is out there is Reluctantly Related: Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. And I would imagine at bookstores or eBay or, you know, somewhere online?
Actually everywhere. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's in bookstores. It is everywhere. It's also on my website.
Well, fantastic. Well, Dr. Brand, thank you for joining us here today. And
you're
hopefully
welcome. Thank you.
We can get some of those mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships hopefully maybe started to repair, if not. And, it's never too late, right, even after
never too late.
10, 15 years.
As much as you think it's too late, it really is never too late. I mean, what do you have to lose? If it's already bad or moving in that direction, you know, you really have nothing to lose to try to fix it at this point. So everybody has a chance.
Very good. And again, folks, that was Dr. Deanna Brand, the book Reluctantly Related: Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law. Hey, folks, as always, join me here 12:30 Monday through Friday. So for today, for Voices of the Tri-States, I'm Cindy Coleman.